Now I'm going to play the interview with Sir Humphrey Wakefield. He was such an interesting man, and I had such a good time going up there to see him on Wednesday to talk to him. He was a bit eccentric, and he was I found it a little bit hard to understand him a few times because of his voice. Not his voice, but his accent. I mean, you'll see that in a few seconds. But I started out by asking him, because, you know, I don't know if you know anything about Chillingham Castle, but it's supposedly the most haunted place in the whole of the, you know, United Kingdom, and that just fascinates me. And I asked him, does that not bother you?
When I first came, it slightly worried me. And when there was no electricity here, noises and crashes at night, one would also rather jump. And I got a priest around in order to try and exorcise the place. Mm-hmm. And the priest, who was one of the family, a very holy man, a wonderful man, said there were so many of them around that they simply couldn't. He simply couldn't handle them. He said, I can't manage them at all. There are just too many. You can't touch them. And then 5 years later, the same priest came round. He said, you don't have to worry, because they're all rooting for you. They all think what you're doing is splendid. And I had felt that, you know, whereas before I thought that there were sort of brigands lurking in the dark. Mm-hmm. Now I felt that I could meld into the dark myself and knock the brigands on the head. I felt I was being protected.
Yeah.
And curious things happened, like I was climbing up a ladder and I was seeing there were some large stones in a window, and I was wanting to see but I could move them to another window, and I was feeling them move. Mm-hmm. And they came out of my arms, and I fell down to the courtyard from two floors up, and I landed on a huge bale of hay, which was at least 10 yards away from the foot of the ladder. I reckon I'd been picked up and put onto it, you know. Uh-huh. But I didn't hurt myself at all. Stones landed on top of me, and I crashed down. But I you know, could have landed on a feather bed.
Uh-huh.
Quite extraordinary. And a few other things happened like that. I never wore a hard hat, which one should wear in those situations. I wore a hard hat once, and a stone landed on my head. I couldn't quite make out whether the spirits were saying, look, this could happen very easily to you, so for God's sake, do wear a hard hat. Or whether they were saying, look, you fool, you don't have to wear a hard hat. But if you do, we'll chuck stones at you. And things happened, curious things happened, like a builder told me I would have a carved stone, and I didn't want a carved stone, but he made me buy the carved stone, and I couldn't see it, he said, because it was buried into a wall that she'd built, weighed a ton and a quarter, and he didn't want to unbury it, but he knew it was carved stone. He felt very guilty as he'd buried it carved stone inwards. Of course, the man whose wall it was didn't want the carved side outside. He wanted just a wall, and he'd been there for 20 years. Anyway, he persuaded me to have it, and I didn't particularly want it, but he persuaded me to have it, so I did. And after I'd told him I didn't want it anymore, he finally just forced me and dropped it round here, and it was the coat of arms of his castle.
Mm-hmm.
And I found, in fact, that it had been on my brother-in-law's house. Mm-hmm. And it had gone on to a sort of builder's site at Red Row.
Mm-hmm.
And then that builder's site had been taken over by builders in Newcastle, and they had sold off the stone to be cut into lintels, and my buddy had bought it to cut into lintels and then hadn't had the heart to do so and buried it into his friend's wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so it came back to me, and it's a very clever stone, because you see, without having email, without having a mobile telephone, it gets itself here, and had it gone back to my brother-in-law, it would have been straight back on the skip. So well done, that stone. And we'd had fountains which have come back, and taps which come back in the same remarkable way. So I'm helped by the spirits in a big way. And, you know, we had one meeting here. We couldn't quite think how we could continue. It's an expensive place to keep. And we were thinking that we certainly would not go the way of caravans. We certainly would not do anything to blemish the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
Or deface the castle, as it were.
Yeah.
and we didn't want to turn to Mickey Mouse Hall. We did not want to turn to Disneyland. The joy of Northumberland is the peace and the clear stars, and there are not too many people, and the gentleness of it, really. So we didn't know what to do. And then next morning, some Japanese rang us up and said they wanted to do a television program on our ghosts, and that gave us survival, and they gave us fame. And then we got some films, and so we ticked along very well. And it's all really because of the ghosts, and they work in a very sort of subtle way too. I mean, sometimes they're not so subtle, and they come out, and people see them very clearly, like the Blue Boy. The Blue Boy I've just seen again last week, my cousin of mine. And my son, who is a great disbeliever in all these things, he couldn't believe that it wasn't a joke, you know. But that's the more obvious. But the more subtle ways are, further to the Japanese program, we had what was then a famous program called The Big Breakfast. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they had their cameras rolling. And they were going to have their cameras rolling from 2 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so at 2 o'clock in the morning, they took their cameras into the torture chamber and started rolling them like they do, you know, counting the time down and go. As they hit the zero moment, the great wheel with a corpse on top of it began turning round, and this dog, which I had and adored, he suddenly gazed into the ceiling, and sort of his hackles went up, and he crouched down, and it was just all on camera, you know.
Yeah.
I know perfectly well that the wheel went because it was propped up by me that morning on a couple of tin cans which had given out, and I knew perfectly well the dog happened to see a pigeon which was roosting in the rafter there, but why it happened at that particular moment I don't know. So we have a sort of constant run of those things, and people come here and their cameras go off and their cameras go on, and they see this and they see that, and I get sent these photographs. Another curious thing that happens is I get sent photographs, they say, isn't this fascinating? And there's nothing in the photograph at all. They can see it, and some of my friends can see it, but I can't. They see images in looking glasses, in mirrors. Well, you know, I can't see them. I'm not sure that I believe them even, but whether my friends are teasing me or whether they're teasing me, I don't know. But it's sent all too often.
Yeah.
And then we have funny stories of sort of ghosts. I mean, so many ghosts in so many places are sort of screeching skeletons, but these seem to be all friendly. I think in a way they've been so happy here, they haven't wanted to move on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you die off, you go to school, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to go to school at all. They're rather happy at home.
Yeah.
And I think you might have to do some work when they move on to school and be a useful servant in a heavenly place.
Yeah.
I think it's rather nice sitting around here playing the games they always played. But we have a curious sort of nanny ghost. It happens sort of every other year or every year or every 3 years, sort of depending. People in one particular apartment, they say that at 2 o'clock in the morning, their children in the next door bedroom start laughing and giggling and moving around. They come running around in a rage, say, what on earth are you doing? And they say, well, two children have been in there and tickled their toes. You know, unharmless thing to do. Anyway, they say nonsense, and they take the child next door, and they take it to the bathroom, they take it to the kitchen and give them something to drink, and then they take them back to the room until they behave themselves. And when they get back to the room, they find the beds have been beautifully made.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the same story. And so I can only think there's some sort of nanny who says you naughty children, you've woken, disturbed the place, and hustles them around and makes the beds and takes them off to their own ghostly beds. And then there's our blue boy was famous and was always appearing as a blue boy. And then in the 20s they were burying, making a doorway through the very thick walls, they're sort of 12 foot thick walls, to the next door rooms, and they came across the skeleton of a child and they buried it in the churchyard, and the blue boy wasn't seen for a bit of time, but there was frequent report of sort of blue flashes in that area. They thought it was an electrical fault. I think we must have left a toe bone behind, or a knee bone or something like that behind, and he says he wanted his joints made. Anyway, the flashes have got more evident and now they're becoming quite sort of over evident, and so I don't quite know whether he's saying, look, for goodness sake, have a look and get my toe bone back to me, or whether he's saying, I'm rather missing chilling, I'm rather enjoyed myself there, I'm coming back to have a look. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult to interpret, but I quite like the idea of dying off and, you know, seeing why all these things happened. And that keeps the ghosts happy.
Yeah, it's cool. Hey, so what did you think of that? Pretty spooky stuff, huh? When I was interviewing, I was actually sitting in, like, this huge, like dining room thing, and it's got, like, all these, like, animal heads on the wall. It was it had such an atmosphere, and he was such an interesting man telling all of these creepy stories, and I definitely recommend that if you haven't been to Chillingham, that you need to go. And, yeah, you should definitely go, and you should listen to part two that's going to be on in maybe about 20 minutes, because that's got some really interesting stuff where he was, like, attacked by tribemen.